the forgotten God, 1 Kings 14, 7 through 11. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. It amazes me that people that profess God do not know the God of the Bible. They only know the mental image or imaginative God that they've either conjured up in their own mind or been told of by some other man. We've erased the God of the Bible, and we've replaced him with a love God of man's own imagination. Now, before someone would cry, well, what about Christ in the New Testament? I always go to, if you turn with me this morning, the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 9. And to you who are troubled, you know, I think if you're in Christ this morning, I think you're troubled. I'm troubled. People say, well, you could. I'm troubled. I'm troubled at the way that men are. I'm troubled at governments, and I'm troubled at wars, and I'm troubled at the world's full of sodomites and uncleanness. And I'm troubled that I have to walk through that. You who are troubled, he said, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Do you see that? I'm talking this morning about the God of the Bible. By the way, Jesus Christ is the God of the Bible. I would tell you that without such thoughts of God, you don't know God at all. When Saul of Tarsus met the Lord on the road to Damascus, the Bible said that he was trembling and astonished. Trembling and astonished. He was blinded, and he had to be led by the hand for 3 days. The Bible said he was blind, and he neither ate nor drank. I don't mean people like that. I mean, for going on 40 years, I've seen people and they so-called meet the Lord and they're up laughing and joking before they hit the door of the church. That's because they don't know the God. They didn't meet the God of the Bible. They met the God of man's imagination. And you think of that. You consider that. I don't even have to consider it because I know how I met him, and I met him in the same fashion. And you compare that with the way that supposedly men meet the Lord today. They're doing it right now. Churches across the land. You see, this is the problem. They still see Jesus as a man. And that's a real, they see him as a frail, mortal man that walked upon the earth for 33 years. And in truth, they keep him that way. That's the way they want him. Because when he came, you know, he had the sheep and the little children, and he had the little one instance where he turned the tables over and he got carried. I say he got carried away. I'm not going to tell you that Christ Jesus, the man, ever got carried away in the sense of the word that you and I get carried away. But he turned the table of the money changers over and made a scourge of whips. But I think that was just a little taste of what we're really going to have when Christ comes back, you see. He's not that frail. He's not going to look like a root out of dry ground again, folks. And so we see him as a man. That's why they put him on crucifixes on the wall and the pictures and statues. I did a funeral Friday, and I saw half those people there, they worshiped the man. They worshiped the man Christ Jesus, not Christ Jesus the Lord. Not the God Christ Jesus. Every portrayal, every image, statue, or icon sees him as a man. When we think of him as a man. You know why? Because we worship men. We worship man. Where's God's? And in truth, we don't want to be like him. We want him to be like us. You see. But I want you to hear me this morning. He's no longer a man. He is no longer a man. He is God Almighty. We have the same error in our consideration of heaven. And yet Christ tells us that there's neither male nor female there, but we shall be as the angels. Far as I know, no procreation. We as mortals must always consider beings in earthly form. Do you know what? It's all we know. It's the spirit of man that's in us. That's our spirit, is man, you see. Yeah, man was created in God's image, but envisaged perhaps only as Christ was to be on this earth when Christ came back as a man. Because God sent him to earth. When God sends angels to earth today, they look just like you and I. They're not flapping around with, you know. Said that's why you might entertain angels unawares. They just look like you and I do, you see. Now, I mention these aspects only to bring us to more fully know and fear the true Almighty God, the God of the Bible, you see. He who has the power of life and death and creation and destruction. He who holds the keys to heaven and hell. He who is Lord of lords and King of kings. He who possesses the breath of life. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, it states that Jesus is going to come back in like manner as he went up. Do y'all remember that? We can go to it if you want, but I think most of you are familiar. But this in no way intimates that he's coming back as a man. Only the way that he went up is the way he's going to come down. Gravity teaches that, do you see? And by the way, by the time he went up, he'd already been glorified. Do you remember? He'd already been glorified of the Father. And before he was glorified, he said, "Don't touch me." You see? So I wonder, why must we keep his image as a man? Once that a man's born again, he's to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm going to give you a little better understanding, I'd say I'm going to give you. I'm going to show you. I don't know what you're going to get. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know we've read these verses many times before, but I think that we don't see them as they are, because I think we read them too often as a man, and we see Christ too often as a man. I was going to read verse 4 through 16, but I'm going to read the entire chapter, and I want you to hear it. The Apostle Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, now I believe that's the first time it's 1 Corinthians, the first time he came to these folks. Before, he's writing to them now. When I came not, he said, I came not. I was thinking this morning, I told the folks, I said, you have no understanding of the difficulty. It'd be preaching to folks is like a one-room schoolhouse. I mean, you've got everything in there from carnal to milk to meat to devils to demons to saints. Well, in the natural, we don't feed the children the same thing, you see. He said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now I have understanding of that. He said, in my speech, in my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom, listen, among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Most men don't know this God. They simply do not. If they did, they wouldn't live like they do. They wouldn't talk like they do. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of man? I'm sorry. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? I'm going to tell you this morning that I believe I can easily say that 90% of every church service going on in at least America today is by this Spirit of man, because it's for man. And they'll tell you it's for man. God never told me to please man. He told me to please God. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. the Spirit of God. No man can understand even what we're even reading. Now, you can understand it in a scholastical sense, in a spirit of man sense. But there's something different here. It's the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He's certainly not just talking about believing. The devils believe and tremble. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I get an email at least once or twice a week from some organization that the boys signed us up for a while back. And they're always wanting me to go somewhere to be trained. To be trained to be a better father, to be trained to be a better son, or to be trained to learn how to read the Bible. All it takes is money. We'll train you. And I believe these are good men. I'm just telling you. And I watch a ministry long enough and I pay attention to those ministries, and sooner or later, money comes up. It always does. I got a correspondence from a man this week, and of course he sent the blank envelope without a stamp. I'd have to put a stamp on it. Why would he send me a blank envelope? I should write him a letter. Just mail him back a letter. And some of the most, what I thought, considered some of the most supposed godly men, and it always comes to money. Well, we can do this, and we can train you to do this, and we need to go train up men to do. I don't find John the Baptist and Elijah the Tishbite being trained up by anybody but God. And the time I spent in Bible college, it took me off the path that I needed to be on. You see. The things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's a sermon. You hear this? No man could teach this. No man could even understand. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, I like the word, if you have a good Bible. I'm not taking away from the Word of God, but it uses the word discernment. Has discernment. Judgeth. Sometimes, judgeth is the right word, but because of the fact that we're 2,000 years down the road, we've changed that word. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the right word. But man's changed it. It judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Discern. I can't be judged of another man. He doesn't even understand me. You say, yeah, I understand him. I was just like him. I had the spirit. I still have the spirit of man. Didn't have. I still have it. But I've got something far better now. I've got the Spirit of God. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's the reason for the lack of faith, even in the apostles. When we read the apostles, they didn't have this. When we read the four gospels, they did not have this. And sometimes Jesus said, well, I couldn't tell you that. I couldn't tell you that. I've had brethren tell me, they go, why didn't you tell? I said, I couldn't tell you that. You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't receive it, you see? You see, the apostles, you know how they knew Jesus? Until the very end. They knew him as a man. They knew him as a man. And they saw that man die. As they had not yet the Spirit of God. Did y'all know that? Yeah, he said flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, Peter. Yeah, but not, that's just, Saul had it. They thought Saul the king was, and he wasn't. The Holy Ghost hadn't been breathed upon him yet. They hadn't been converted. And they knew him as a man, you see. That's why you look at verse 11 there in 1 Corinthians 2. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And his risen form was also as a man. And thus they denied him and even had to stick their finger in the hole of his hand. You see? But then something happened. They got converted. And what happened? Folks, you go back sometime and you compare what we just read in 1 Corinthians with some of the things that Christ told them. He spoke to them in parables. Really, sometimes in the simplest of terms. That's why I've always said, I understand the Gospels. But Lord knows, man, I'm knee-deep in Romans. Or here in 1 Corinthians, I mean, I'm getting in deep water. Because now these men, they see. And they're not looking back. Paul said not looking. They're not looking back at Jesus the man. They're falling, trembling, and astonished, and not eating for 3 days and blind. And that's how they're meeting God. The apostles didn't do that when they met Jesus. They had Jesus walking on earth with them. Why? He walked as a man. If he hadn't, y'all heard me, he couldn't have died. God can't die. He had to die. You see? But upon conversion, they received power from the Holy Ghost. Who, by the way, now listen, this is the Holy Ghost is God. Because we think as men, we think, well, it's God. Jesus Christ is God. God the Father is God, do you see? Okay? Every bit God. One's not more God than the other. And now we read these words in 1 Corinthians, and all we can say is, amen. Amen. Melissa said this morning, I read her one verse, and she just wanted to fall down. It's just the power and the majesty and the glory and the word. Was God. Mm-hmm. Said, them that are perfect, the mind of Christ. If you don't fall somewhere in this chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you're yet carnal. Paul addresses that. He goes on to say in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he says, and I, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. even as unto babes in Christ. Do you see the difference there? You know, I think maybe in some sense I'm not changing the word of God, but that's how Christ was when he first came. I couldn't speak to you boys this. Because you weren't over here. You were still over here. You see. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Do you see what he just read then? Neither yet now are you able. We've got some just like that. You're not able. Like I used to tell Jeff, and I don't know, because I don't get to spend time with Jeff anymore. I don't know if he's let go. He knows what I'm talking about. And I don't know if you folks have let go. Now look at verse 4. I'm sorry, look at verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there's envy and strife, divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as what? Walk as men? Walk as men. Not only you still see Christ as a man, you're still walking as a man. For while, verse 4, while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? And then Paul answers the thing. He says in verse, who then is Paul? Well, who's a Catholic? Well, who's a Baptist? Well, who's a Presbyterian? And another, well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Catholic. Well, are you not yet carnal? You see? Well, I follow Brother James. I follow Brother David. I follow Brother Smokey. I follow Brother, and I follow the brothers up here. And I follow. Are you not yet carnal? And I see all those denominations in faith. First John, it doesn't say that we believe all things. It says we know all things. Now I only find those who believe. Those who proclaim, this is what I believe. Man, I walk through this earth and everybody wants to say, well, this is what, no matter what I try to tell them, no matter what scripture I read, so it's not me, I can just read them scripture like I've done to you. Well, let me tell you what I believe. Well, you don't need to tell me what you believe. I just told you the way it is. Exactly the way God wrote it. You see. I believe. You see. If you only hear by me, then you still got spirit of man. You've got to hear by God, you see. I find so many, they don't know. And until they know, listen. Folks, this is the key. Until they know, they have not the mind of Christ. When they say, I think and I believe and this is where I go, and this is what they, until they know, they have not the mind of Christ. And in effect, there's no difference in Muslims or Hindus or any other religion. They've yet the spirit of man. They're operating in the spirit of man. If all you do is read the Bible and pray and go to worship, how are you any different? Did you hear me? If all you do is read the Bible and pray and go to worship, how are you any different? they do such in their own way. Even Papists and JWs and Mormons and Baptists do that. More so than you and I. Are you yet carnal? Or do you possess the mind of Christ? There's never another word here. You folks hear me say it all the time. How can you possess the mind of Christ and never have another word? Never a revelation. No preach, pray, or die among us. I did a funeral a couple weeks ago. It was a week ago from this. I wrote this a few weeks ago. There's a lady I'd never met. It was for a friend of mine. He told me, he said, man, my mom passed, would you? I said, I told him years ago I would. I'd never met the lady. And I get to the cemetery and I said, have you got an obituary? All I had, they didn't print an obituary and the paper didn't print anything. All I knew about this lady was her name. Y'all won't go do a funeral and all you have is a name, lady? Not even an obituary. Don't know where she's born. What she did. And the funeral director there, and he was a preacher, told me he's a preacher. I said, brother, you got in a bid or anything for this woman? I said, I never met this woman. He said, pastor, you can wing it. Now listen, he wasn't being trite or irreverent. Now see, Nick's a pole climber. And the boy, he's a fireman. I'm a salesman. I wing it every day. Matter of fact, that's all I do, is wing it. Kind of like they used to say, fly by the seat of your pants. It had just one stick in the early flame. Wing it. I understood him because he was a preacher. He wasn't trying to be trite or flippant. Some people are. In the natural use of that word, yeah. But I knew exactly what he meant. Hey, brother, it's just another day in Christ. That's just the way it is, you see. So let me ask you. How can a child of God who knows all things and has the mind of Christ not wing it? Oh. Oh. You know, I've seen people get up. Man, we used to get people up in the tabernacle and get them. Man, things change. You get up in front of that pulpit. You get up behind that pulpit in front of a bunch of people. We had one night, do you remember, years ago, we said, the Sunday night service, we're just going to have it might have been Morton's service. I think we might have devoted, I don't remember. Doesn't matter. We're just going to devote the service to folks getting up here and testifying. How'd that go? Do you remember? It was a train wreck. Wasn't no wings. They were flying without wings, weren't they? Couldn't get off the ground. Deacons couldn't get off the ground. The elders couldn't get off the ground. And I just went, I just shook my head. The testimony is what Christ did for you. You know why you don't know? Because he did the same thing for you. He did for everybody else down in the front of a church somewhere. You knelt down and said some prayer. And every testimony was the same. There wasn't one that was trembling and astonished. There wasn't one that had been not blind. There wasn't one that went 3 days and three nights without eating after it happened. Not one. There was not even a tear shed. They couldn't even wing the testimony. How can a child of God who knows all things and has the mind of Christ and has met the Lord not wing it? And I don't mean any disrespect in the term of wing it at all. How can he not just speak what he knows? Not what he believes, not what he thinks. Simply in the context of, listen, give no thought. Isn't that what he said? He said, you think those flowers out there think? Do you think those birds over there think, well, man, I probably ought to fly south today? No. Now, we could take time to read all that, but we're not. I will tell you, turn to Matthew chapter 10. I will show you a different aspect. You see there in Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 18. He said, you should be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, what did he say? Take no thought. Take no thought how or what ye shall speak. I'm not sure there's not one among us can do that. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Didn't we just read that? I did. I don't know what you read. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. I can't tell you how often in my life that I'll speak something naturally as a man and I'll hear my Father clear as a bell. And I can't tell you how often that I've preached and spoken things, and I'll hear some other preacher that's been in my life, years gone by, and I'll hear them clear as a bell. And if you can't get up in front of a group of people and tell those people exactly what Christ has done for you, then you've got a problem. You've got a serious spiritual problem. Today, we've not watered down the gospel. You ever hear that term? They've watered down it. The true gospel can't be watered down. The gospel of God can't be watered down. You can't be born again a little. That little boy back, he wasn't sort of born. He was either born or he was. Now, he's still a babe. And then we're moving up to adolescent and to young man, okay? Man, older man, you see. Are some given more? Yeah. Some are given more measure of the Spirit, certainly. I think I read that in the different letters. I read it in the difference in Paul and Peter and John. And that thing comes out. But that one thing that's common is they have the mind of Christ. And they understand the things of Christ, you see. And that in no way negates the word that we've read this day any more than the fire that Christ is returning with. Those truly in Christ have not forgotten God, because you can't forget what you are, and you can't forget what's in you. Jesus said, you must be born again. You. Not me, you. You must be born again. 1 John 2:20, but ye, once again, have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Man, if you'd have been there that night, and I won't embarrass you this morning, If we got time, I don't have any place to go. You try to stand up and tell us your testimony and convince us by your testimony that you have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. Man, I believe I could go out and gather up the first 10 preachers I find this morning, maybe not find one. The forgotten God, or perhaps the God that most yet to know. Perfect mind of Christ. Unction from the Holy One. Spiritually discerned. Folks, you read those things. And then you can examine yourselves whether or not you be in the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. For one day laying me out and speaking as a father to a son, chastening, guiding, directing, never leaving, never forsaking. We can speak of our earthly fathers. We can speak of our earthly families. But who can speak of Christ? Only those into whom he lives. And I for one thank you, Father, above all things, for the privilege of being born again of thy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.